Well, it was a week ago that the executive board of the South African Institution of Civil Engineering apologized unreservedly for a column written by its CEO, Manglin Pillay, and the stress it caused. It said Pillay had apologized for the article, which was published in the Civil Engineering magazine July edition, and in it he questioned whether South Africa should be investing heavily in attracting women into STEM, science, technology, engineering and mathematics fields. Pillay is still the CEO of the Institute, and he is going for diversity training. Ntabiseng Moleko is a lecturer in economics and statistics at the University of Stellenbosch Business School and also a gender commissioner, and on the line to us now. Ntabiseng, good evening.
Oh, good evening, John. Thanks for having me.
What would be one of the sort of major rebuttals that you would have offered to Manglin Pillay in terms of this is why, Manglin, it is important that we attract many more women to the STEM disciplines?
Okay, firstly, that I just want to reiterate that I disagree flatly with all the insinuations that he's made, despite the fact that I think Psyche has obviously apologize unreservedly, you say, but to the point is that spaces are not open for women, particularly in STEM sectors. His utterances are an example of that. So the one reason is primarily because of there's a high level of what you'd call sexism, or certain sectors which are deemed for male only, or they are male type dominant sectors. And this is primarily because of a mindset that certain there are barriers to entry, whether subconsciously or consciously, and even policies that put in place these barriers of women entering into certain sectors. You must recall, it's not just gender, it could be racial discrimination and other type of labor market access issues that are in the fore. So I think that's one of the issues, is that I disagree flatly. Why? Because every individual has capability and competence, with gender specific, it's irrelevant what gender you are, but every individual has capabilities, competence, and ability, particularly in these sectors, to do the work required to gain the qualifications. And you see this through the throughput ratios in high school, the number of learners that get distinctions in math from male and female. In fact, more women are getting distinctions, top of the class, and so forth, entering into university. Where the gap begins to happen is when in the employment element, where humans and their biases begin to come into the fore. For instance, if you look at the actual placement of learners in employment, in these sectors, there's a lot of informal and what you'd call non-structured employment, because you do have big companies that employ, but a lot of them is one-man jobs or family-type businesses, thereby institutionalizing possible structural biases even in the employment practices and placement of individuals. So these are some of the reasons why you need to look deeper as to why is the absorption rate for certain genders, even races, by the way, lower. And South Africa has its history. So you find that the labor market is highly skewed, and you've got to look at policies to try and absorb those who have previously not been enabled to have access to these type of sectors. It's not because they don't want.
If I were to arrive on the Marty's campus and wander into one of your lectures, an economics lecture or a statistics lecture, or I were to go to another building and drop in on a second year civil or mechanical engineering lecture, what would be the division of genders in those lectures?
Oh, it's Marty's. Okay, so I'm not an expert in terms. I'm at the business school, so we have professionals. So we have there's ratios of. I would be probably quoted out of context, but I think our ratios in terms of gender speak to probably 50-50, or not, if not skewed towards more women than men in the class.
So they're not being dissuaded before they go into tertiary education. They're trying to get into tertiary educations in these STEM fields, and they're probably graduating with the same kind of statistical throughput as the males, if not better. And that's after that is when the trouble starts.
Where I can talk is the results. So I mark stats papers. I'm responsible for stats at the business school for MBAs. And I can guarantee you that women do not perform worse than men. Definitely not the capability of women in terms of the ability to understand, to gain the quantitative capacity, what we call cognitive ability to conceptualize and to also answer questions and stats is equivalent to men. They're not worse. But the question is now when they're recruited, what are the recruitment practices in sourcing labor? What are the necessary support mechanisms within an industry that prohibit or inhibit women from actually not just being retained, but even being advanced to promotions, to executive levels, to managerial positions, to decision making, and so forth? So you're finding that in construction, specifically dealing with this Pillay comment, there's definitely lack of diversity. There's lack of support in terms of mentorship, even for entrants who are deemed perhaps what he would deem not necessarily competent, but I would not necessarily look at it in that way. Type A personalities, he quoted in his article, a type of person or a persona he would deem a high performer. You would find that in banking, finance, business, in law, in these type of industries where you have a male predominance or a type of subculture that prevails, equating excellence to a certain type of behavior. What if someone is from a rural area? Regardless of gender, the behavior that they exhibit is not your typical expected behavior. The preferences, hobbies, and type of events that they enjoy or would socialize in is not the same because it's a different background that they come from. How do they then absorb that person in that space? How is networking done in that space? Would they be deemed non-performers because they behave differently? And I think some of these cultures that are predominantly the norm in some of these sectors need to be broken down. They are barriers, and I think this report that we wrote in terms of the SABPP Women's Report and the CGE stands very clearly to say that, listen, we do need to break down some of these unconscious biases using policy that also enables access and change of mindset so that people can perform at the best of their ability within these STEM-related sectors.
Thank you very much to Ntabiseng Moleko, a lecturer in economics and statistics at the University of Stellenbosch's Business School and also a commissioner at the Commission for Gender Equality.